Welcome to the July 28th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Ruth chapter 1, verses 11 through 22, and the sermon is entitled, Returning to Where You Belong, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Indeed, my prayer is this, that we all are moving closer to being like the Lord and to the Lord. And I'm grateful for that reminder today. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Ruth, the Old Testament book of Ruth in your Bible. I'm grateful for this book. I'm grateful for this study. 2 weeks ago, we opened the book together, and I'm grateful to continue on in the study and through the book of Ruth. Just to catch you up, if you were not here for that first sermon, that sermon opened up with Naomi wanting to return home to Bethlehem, Judah. She has made the trip to Moab with her family because famine has struck. They did not have food, so that moved her out of the land of Judah into the land of Moab. And she went there originally with her husband and her two sons. And while there, tragedy strikes. Tragedy strikes first because Elimelech, her husband, Naomi's husband, died. He dies while there. And so that was the first instance of tragedy. And then her two sons, they end up marrying Moabite women while they are there. They remain there about 10 years. And then guess what happens again in the life? She loses her two sons. Those two boys of her own, they end up dying while there in the land of Moab. And we understand that as the daughter-in-laws, they're not her family. They don't belong to her. They don't need to stay with her. And so the first sermon, we concluded by this, by saying this. Naomi said this, daughter-in-laws, you can stay here in Moab. You don't have to go back with me to my homeland of Judah. And so as we understand that, Moab, we understand Moab represented a place where the family was not her own. The people were not her own. The daughters-in-law were not her family, and they were not bound to her. And so she's ready just to return to the place that she knows and that she's familiar with and the place that she knows as home. And here was the words that we ended up with the last sermons. Those two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, say this, we are going with you. When you go home, we are going with you. And so with that, we pick up in the middle of the chapter for today's sermon. But before we start, I want to say this. How many of you understand that it is important for the Christian life to align with the will of God? And so when we come to these times of decision and when things happen in our life, we must make sure that we are in the will of God. Redemption cannot happen in your life or any life outside of the will of God. And so when we understand that, I want to put it to you in terms that maybe we can relate to. I have gift cards. If you go to my car right now and you open up the center console, there are two Chick-fil-A gift cards. Now, I keep those Chick-fil-A gift cards right there because at the right time and at the right place, I can redeem them. I can't take them to the Cracker Barrel. I can't take them to McDonald's. I can't take them to the truck stop. Nobody around here takes Chick-fil-A gift cards except Chick-fil-A. And so in terms of redemption, Chick-fil-A is the only one that can redeem that gift card. In the same sense, redemption can only happen when people are in His will. And so today, a very stern and preparatory sermon for revival that we must make sure that we are in the will of God. If we want God to move, if we want God to speak, we must be in God's will and seeking the will of God. So with that said, let's go to the book of Ruth. We're going to start with verses 11 through 13. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb? that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them for having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Point number one today, as we think of returning where you belong, getting back into the will of God, returning where you belong, point number one today is this: you can't always see it, but know God is working. Let's do a little exercise real quick. Three simple words. I want you to say them with me. God is working. Are you ready? God is working. Do you believe that? There are times that things happen even in our life. Now, maybe we can relate to Ruth. Death and despair is in our life. And there are times that that hits our families and our situations. And we look up and we ponder, God, where in the world are you? Are you really here? Are you even working? And so we understand this. Naomi is in a place where she feels empty and she is in despair. And she just wants to go home. But know this, even in her situation and even in your situation, God is working, and you've got to trust that. There are times that you can't see it, and there are times that you're not going to feel it, and there are times that you may not even know it, but here is the reality: God is working. And so, from Scripture today, I believe in the providential hand of God over my life and over your life. I don't even want to know, as I look back at my life, how many times God protected, spared, saved my life from something. We serve a providential God. Amen? And God is at work in our everyday lives. He has stopped people when their brakes have failed. And He has made people come to the realization they don't need to make that choice, because making that choice will lead to other things. God is working. But here's the reality. Naomi can't see it. And here's what she knows. She wants her daughters-in-law just to stay behind, stay in Moab. I'm going to return to Judah. And here's her question: why are you even going with me? I have nothing better, nothing more to offer you. It makes no sense. I have no more children to offer you to take as your husband. She mentions this: there are no more children in her womb. And that is the first glimpse at the kinsman redeemer. And we're going to get to that in later sermons. But the idea in Naomi's mind, in her heart, is this: if she had another child, then one of those men, one of those male children, could marry Orpah or Ruth. That's what would happen. And she says this: there are no more children. I ain't having no more children. How many of you can relate to that, right? So there's no hope there. There's no hope, there's no children. And she even goes this far. She said, if I was to meet the perfect man tonight, and I were to take him as my husband, and I would conceive this night, it would take 9 months for that child to be born, and then that child would have, would you tarry? Would you wait that long for a husband from me? And I love Naomi's response. Naomi says, no, you would not. That's foolish to even think about. As only Naomi can, she is trying to get these two daughters-in-law of hers just to stay back, to stay and start their family over. They're still young. They still have time. She's just an old woman, and there is no hope. Don't let me affect what God can do in your life. You stay here. I'll go, and God will work it out. Naomi actually mentions in verse number 13 that she's grieving. She cares about these two women. She wants what's best for them. But her closing statement of verse number 13 is one that should open our eyes, but more importantly, it should open our hearts this morning. And here's what Naomi says. For your sake, the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. As Naomi surveys her life and her situation and where she is a woman in desperation mode. She said, there is nothing to offer. There's no good here. There's no future. Just go. God has his hand against me. I look at that and I read that and I'm grateful today for Naomi's heart. I'm grateful that God peels back and allows us to see Naomi's heart. She is a woman that is alone, that is desperate, and all she knows is this: I need to get back home. Whatever that looks like, I need to go there, and I'm going knowing that God is not working for me. He's working against me. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but there may be people that are in this room, there may be people that are watching live stream that feel like right now in life, God, you have your hand against me. And here's what I want you to know, child of God, that could not be further from the truth. There are consequences when we step outside of God's will. And that's what we need to take heart and take note of. Naomi cannot see what God is doing, but God is working to get her back where she needs to be. Yes, it cost her husband. Yes, it cost her two kids. But God is trying to get her back where she needs to be. And there are some scriptures, and I'm not going to go through them for time's sake, but if you're taking note, write down Romans 8:28 and write down 1 Corinthians 10:13. Write down those two scriptures. And when you feel like you're in that moment where, hey, God is against me, I want you to flip in your Bible and I want you to tune in and turn to those two verses that remind you of this: God is at work in the believer's life. And so I'm grateful today that if you're out of God's will, now listen to me, if you're out of God's will, no lifestyle choice, no job choice, no family choice matters until you make the choice to follow the Lord faithfully. And then God works. And so we're here at Revival. I wrote this sermon a month and a half ago, and God has it in His timing on this Sunday. Today, we need to evaluate where we are in the will of God. And I'm grateful that no matter what, behind the scenes, God is orchestrating His work to be done. There's another point. Look at verses 14 and 15. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Point number two is this: you have to make tough decisions. When we think about returning to where we belong, you have to make tough decisions. And when I'm thankful about those decisions, I'm grateful that the Lord leads through there. Now, this is not accurate. I'm not saying Google has the answer for everything, okay? But a quick search of Google says this: every single day, the human makes 33 to 35 thousand decisions. 200 of those decisions are made just regarding food. Some of you would think about lunch right now, all right? Let's just be honest. Vito's, Briar Patch, or are we going to Lynchburg? What's it going to be? I understand that. See, there are three decisions. There are multiple decisions. But when we think about how many decisions, I'm not going to argue how many that we make in one day. But here's what I want you to know. At some point, we've got to make some tough decisions. And what do those decisions look like? Here's what they look like in this situation. Orpah and Ruth, they pledged in verse number 10. This is not some simple promise or pledge to one person. This was a pledge before God. In verse number 10, to their mother-in-law, that, hey, we're going to go with you. That was their pledge. But then they hear their mother-in-law's plea, just stay. So they promised we're going to go, and she's telling us to stay. What do we do? What is the right thing to do? Maybe you've faced some certain situation where you are caught in the middle. What should I do? Or what is the right thing to do? And they are different than what God wants you to do. Does that make sense? So it could be something you want to do. It could seem right in your eye, but there's always God's way. What does God want me to do? And I want to encourage you, church, anytime you are facing a tough decision, that needs to be the first question that you ask whoever is involved. What does the Lord want us to do? And so these women are talking. Their futures are in jeopardy because all three women are widows. Their family is in jeopardy because right now none of these women can continue their family. They're all alone. And right now, according to God's word, Naomi's faith is in jeopardy because guess what? She feels like God's hand has gone against her. So what happens when your future and your family and your faith all seem to be working against you? You've got to make a tough decision. I love how accurate the Bible is. The first thing these women do is talk, and then they cry. You can laugh. That's supposed to be a joke, okay? Women talk and then they cry, but I want you to see this is an emotional investment. They want the very best for one another. They want the very best for their future. And knowing this, they don't know what it's going to look like. What do we need to do? And here's what the Bible says in verse number 14. They lifted up their voice, they wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. One of the daughter-in-laws decides to give her mother-in-law a kiss on the cheek. And with that kiss, she makes her choice. And here is Orpah's choice. I'm staying in Moab. I'm going to stay in my country. I'm going to stay with people that I'm familiar with. I'm going to my family. But in verse number 15, it gives us a little bit more detail as Naomi is encouraging to go back. He says this, go back to your people, but also go back to your gods. Oh, we've got a big decision. Orpah kisses her mother-in-law, says, I'm going to stay in Moab. And with that decision, she's not saying, I'm only staying with my family, but she's turning away from God. She's turning away from Yahweh. She's going back to her God, Chemosh. That's a big decision. And I'm not here to judge her decision, but that decision is a costly decision. And as she kisses her mother-in-law, I just want to say this. We also know a New Testament example of somebody turning away from God with a kiss, don't we? But there's hope. Look at verse number 14. It says this, Ruth clave unto her. One kissed, the other clung to her. One kissed and turned their back and stayed, and one is cleaving, saying, I will go with you. I want you to know there are tough decisions that need to be made day in and day out. And today when we talk about returning to where you belong, there needs to be tough decisions that you make to center your life with the will of God. And in a very simple way today, here's what I'm asking. Are you kissing or are you clinging? Not to a mother-in-law, but to God. And in those tough times where we're surely not sure what to do and what the future holds, we need to turn to the Lord. In verse number 15, here's what Naomi says. She's been kissed and Orpah has gone off. Ruth says, no, I'm cleaving to you. And here's what Naomi says. Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back into our people and into our gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. This is the last time that Naomi says, Ruth, just stay here. The decision is made. And it is made by one with a kiss and one by clinging. And we look at the prospects of the future and we consider getting back to the place and the will of God for your life. Today, Christians, there are hard decisions that await you and I to follow God's will. It may not make sense. We may not have the big picture. You will have to sacrifice to follow Jesus, though. And in making those tough decisions, one road is a road that leads to redemption. The other is not. Look at verses 16 through 19. Maybe the most famous words from this book. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So that they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Point number three today is this. In making and returning, making those tough decisions and returning to the Lord and where you're supposed to be and where you belong, you have to rely on the Lord to lead you. I love the language of the King James Version here. And I love this because these are words that I normally use at a wedding. And why would you use words that a daughter-in-law says to a mother, her mother-in-law? At a wedding, because they speak to so many different things. I'm going to talk about those real quickly. Just a couple months ago, Nick and Mary Grace Dillon stood before me, and these were the words that I used as they united their hearts together, because these words speak to four different things. Real quickly, they speak to commitment. We have forgotten what that means. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. That's what commitment is. And so when we read these words where Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Here's what she is saying. I am committed to you, my mother-in-law. Don't you dare to ask me to turn around again. Don't ask me to stay anymore, because I told you I was going with you and I'm going with you. Some of you are making those kind of commitments. Praise be to God. These words speak to loyalty. Where I go, or where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people are my people. Ruth will now follow Naomi and be loyal not only to her, but wherever and whatever happens in Bethlehem, they are now my people. And that's what you do when you get married. Some of y'all married into crazy families. I ain't gonna talk about mine. My mother-in-law's here today. I ain't talking about mine. I got a great family. But here's the reality of it. We don't know what that looks like, but here's what we're saying. Loyalty to one another and loyalty to family. When I married Terry and when Terry said yes to me, it was more than Jeffrey and Terry. It's children and grandchildren and sisters and brothers and nieces and nephews, but they are my people. That's who God has gifted me. And they are a blessing. I'm going on the record to say that. But loyalty. Whatever happens, I'm with you. These words speak of faith. Ruth's words, your God is now my God. Those are powerful words as she is declaring her faith in Yahweh, the God of Naomi has now become her God. The God of Israel is now her God, the one true God. And then it speaks of promise. Where you will die, I will die. And there will I be buried. As we think about those words and returning to where you belong, there comes a time where you have to turn and depend on God and have a faith that will trust the Lord no matter what. Ruth makes a commitment not only to Naomi. This commitment is before a holy God. Don't seek God's will for your family's sake. Don't seek God's will because it is the right thing to do. Don't seek God's will because you feel sorry for someone. Seek the will of God because of your own relationship and desire for a relationship with God. Now listen, there are times in my past that I came to church because my mama made me come to church. And I'm thankful that my mama made me. Amen? But I am a 42-year-old man that comes to church because guess what? I meet and worship God here. It's not out of duty. It's not out of responsibility. It's out of worship. And that's what we see here. There comes a time that we have to make those tough decisions, but we have to rely on the Lord to lead the days ahead. Even though we don't know what they look like, here's what Ruth is promising her mother-in-law. I am with you. If you have nobody else, you've got me. Remember Naomi's heart, God's hand is against me. So right now, here's what Naomi hears. There's one person in her corner, and that's Ruth. That's the way she feels. As they march back to Bethlehem, they move back and they march back and they're greeted with the question, and that question is this: is that Naomi? How long has Naomi been gone from her hometown? 10 years. And as she marches back in town, the people begin to talk. Now, she's not going back for the parade. She's going back because she has heard God has shown up. And she goes back to this town and she is greeted with the question, is that Naomi? And I want to, this ain't even in my notes. Maybe it's been a while that you've been to church or you've come back and you open those doors and you feel like everybody is looking at you. Everybody is questioning, what in the world are you doing here? I'm sure the town was talking, where has she been? She's been gone for so long, I thought she was dead. And she marches back in town to the whispers, is that really her? When God is working, you put on the best that He has given you, and you march to His presence. no matter what the whispers say. There's one more point as we close down tonight, this morning, and that is this. Look at verses 20 through 22. And she came and said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Point number four today, as you are seeking to return where you belong, trust the Lord's timing. I want to say this before I move on, and that is this. You can be in the will of God and get the timing wrong, and it can turn out to be a mess. Okay? Go back to the Chick-fil-A card. If I show up at Chick-fil-A on Sunday, the Chick-fil-A card does you no good. I got an amen. Thank you, Kevin. The Lord's will and His timing must match. And so God's timing is important. And I want you, it's easy to read over this, but I want to drive this point home today. As you see Naomi march back into her hometown, here's what you need to see. You need to see her heart. She has been out of the place of home. She has been out of the will of God. She is there, and she describes her time in the far land in two ways: bitterness and empty. And because of that, she says, I need to change my name. Don't you dare call me Naomi. Anybody, I'm gonna give you a little quiz. Anybody remember what Naomi's name means from the first sermon? Go ahead. Good, pleasant, good job. Sorry, my ears are not on today. Pleasant. How do you go from a woman whose name means pleasant to a woman who wants to change her name that just says, I'm a bitter woman? I don't know about you, and this is no joke. You don't want to be around bitter people. Because bitterness rubs off. She could have so easily have affected the whole town with the way that she viewed God in this moment. And so she is bitter. And she is empty. And she says, don't you even dare call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because I am a very bitter woman. I left full of family and full of hope. Even though there was a famine, I was full, and now I'm empty. If you ever need a reason to not get out of God's will, this is a great reason. Because you will change. And it will not be for the good. But God has brought her home. A bitter and empty and defeated woman with no husband and no children and no future. Immediately, here's where she goes. She goes to the bottom rung of the society, of the totem pole in society. And she just says, just leave me here. Can God work in those situations? Just shake your head yes or no. Can God work in those situations? Church, do you believe that God can work in those situations? If you don't, I'm going to show you through this sermon series. You got to come from all of them, though. Where do we see God's timing? Where do we see God's timing in this piece of scripture? We see a woman who's defeated. We see a woman who's home. We see that she's empty, that she's bitter, that she's blaming God. It's God's fault. God's dealt harshly with me. I'm in a bad place. Look at the ending of the last verse. The last five words read like this: the beginning of barley harvest. For a woman that is at the bottom of the rung, here's what you need to know. That's God's timing. That's God's timing. timing. To hear the rest of the story, you got to come back, because you will get introduced to that. But here's what I want you to say. Maybe today, in preparation of our hearts for revival, we look at our lives and we may say, okay, there are some things that are hard, and there are some things in some areas where I have no hope. I don't know what the future looks like. But there need to be some Christian people today that say, no matter what the circumstances, God, I will trust you. There need to be some people today that know that they don't know what their next meal is going to come from, but they're going to depend on God's timing. God, when you tell me to move, when you tell me to go home, when you make the time right, I will go. There are some of you today that need to make commitment, not to your mother-in-law, but to God. Some of you need to be loyal to God. Some of you, you need your faith strengthened before God. And some of you need to make promises in your heart before a holy God. God, I am yours. I belong to you, and I trust you. Maybe there's some broken and bitter people in this room, and you're Christians. God's timing is perfect. And today, it's not the preacher's voice that's inviting you to come and bow before him and recommit your life and come back home. It is the voice of a loving, almighty God saying, I'm not dealing bitterly with you. I'm leading you back to myself. Maybe there's somebody in this room that because you don't have God, you feel empty. And I'm just telling you from experience, I had an empty spot. And I could have filled it with so many things. I tried to fill it with different things. I tried to fill it with the pleasures of the world. I tried to fill it with my wants and my wishes and my plans. I tried to fill that empty spot. But the spot became full when Jesus entered in. Today, Jesus wants to enter a life of emptiness and helplessness and give hope in those situations. Today, if you will repent and turn from your sin and turn by faith to a loving God, He will fill you and lead you. And in His timing, He will show up. Today, a story of redemption happens when people get in the will of God. And my prayer during this invitation is that we allow God that time to work. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word. And thank you for the great story of Ruth. God, as I consider the flock, Lord, I know that people, whether they're watching on a live stream right now or whether they are in the presence, in the sanctuary of God, whether it's a living room or a sanctuary, God, I believe you can move. If people desperately seek you and people desperately turn from their will and their idea and their far land and seek something greater because they've heard God is doing something, God, you can work. So over the flock today, my simple prayer is this: God, do your work. For the ones that feel empty and bitter and blaming God, God, remove that heart of stone and give them that heart of life through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the representative of a real life heart surgery in this room today. But God, my prayer is this, that you are doing heart surgeries right now all across this room. God, thank you by your Spirit that you changed my life and that you moved into that empty spot. And today, if there's somebody that needs you, God, I pray they will surrender their life and their idea and their plan and their far land to just come home. God, lead us in this moment of invitation, I pray.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.